Hi, and welcome to the My Dog Made Me Do It Naturally podcast. I am your host, Kat Jepsen, a canine nutritionist with an innate obsession with dogs and the natural ways in which we are driven to live because of them. So, let's get to it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the My Dog Made Me Do It Naturally podcast. I am your host, Kat Jepsen, as always, and tonight I am joined by Charlotte, who is doting dog mama to Chief. And today we're chatting about their journey into raw and natural feeding. Welcome, Charlotte.
Thank you for having us. Good evening.
How are you doing today? You good?
Yeah, all good. Thanks. And you?
Yes, very, very well. It is a Friday night and it's been a beautiful day. So can't complain, can we?
Absolutely not. We shouldn't. We don't get in this country.
We need to take the wins whenever they are.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks ever so much for coming onto the show and agreeing to share your journey with us. So why, I think what we always do at the beginning of the show is for you to just kind of introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you and Chief.
Okay, so Chief, start with the most important. Chief is a beautiful chocolate male lab. He will be 5 in May and he has taught me so much about life. He's just the purest soul and deserves everything in life. And that's where I come in as his pet parent. So I'm Charlotte and I've just turned 30. I don't work in the pet industry. I work in IT as a project manager and I just have passion for dogs. And I am that single dog parent that dotes on their dog more than anything. So yeah, that's us. We live in Glasgow and we're just happy together.
Oh, well, it sounds like you've got the perfect combination, just you and Chief just living your best life. So, you know, what is there to complain about?
Yeah, we don't need anything else. Yes, exactly.
And you've got nobody kind of saying that, you know, the dog comes first. So that's a bonus.
Yeah. Well, everyone knows that's really how it works in my life. Yeah. There's no judgment for it from anybody else.
Exactly. That's it. Okay, so what does your natural journey look like and how did it start?
So this is quite a long story because it's been sort of over the course of the last maybe 3 years, and like many people that sort of go into raw feeding, it starts with a problem or an issue. That's really where we started with Chief. So he in fact, I've had dogs all my life, but he's my first dog. But all the dogs I've had were kibble fed. So when I got Chief, I actually did a lot of research into the best kibble for him. Didn't know raw feeding existed, and he was fed on kibble. And then when he turned almost 2, in kind of the March, April of what must have been 2021, he started to get noticeably scratchy and itchy, and he was sort of nibbling away at his tummy, his legs. And there was no real indication of him having skin issues, kind of intermittent stuff as a young pup, but nothing, you know, that I'd write home about. So it really started when he was about 2. So I took him to the vets and they kind of advised could be seasonal, could be food related. And we went down the kind of conventional route with the vets. So they suggested, you know, the topical treatments, elimination diets, or kind of long-term use of Cytopoint or Apoquel, which were, and I guess probably are still very, very expensive. So they also wanted to put Chief on a prescription kibble, a hypoallergenic kibble long-term, if the elimination diet didn't work or if I didn't want to do the elimination diet. And then the sort of last piece of the puzzle would be dermatology testing for allergies. And they said it would just be environmental because they didn't trust that the food testing was that reliable. But they said in the immediate term, we'll start looking at the seasonal stuff and see if, you know, things like salmon oil will help his skin and Puritan. So we started that, and within a couple of months it just got worse and worse. And they said, right, we will start an elimination diet, and or they really were trying to push me to move to this prescription kibble.
Yeah.
I decided to try and do the elimination diet first, and my vet are, I don't know if it's as strong as anti-raw, but they're definitely not pro-raw. So the vet said to me, use a single novel protein, use a single carb. But they didn't really give any indication, which sounds really silly, of using fresh food. And all I knew was kibble. All anyone I knew around me was kibble. I didn't even really know that raw even really existed at this point. So I then started to look at, you know, elimination diets online. And at that point, I started to see things with raw or fresh food. And it, at a time where he was in quite a lot of discomfort, it felt like, oh my goodness, how can I move to something that's so alien when kibble is all I knew? And yeah, the vet suggested this route. So I thought I would try and find a different protein kibble that was as few a meat ingredient or meat sources as I could. And we did an elimination diet on kibble, which now is just, it's not possible really to do an effective elimination diet on kibble. But back then, this was where we were at.
Yeah.
So after a few months, we were worse off again. And he was in so much discomfort. He'd lost all his hair on his belly, his legs. He was like visibly whelping when he was scratching. He had to wear safety suits, you know, after they have the operation and the full, like, it's almost like a jump. He was in that all day, all night. He had to wear a cone to bed because he couldn't stop scratching himself. His behavior changed, which I didn't notice at the time, you know, once he... So I noticed how reactive he was. So at that point, I thought, oh my goodness, I'm getting nowhere. So I sort of had to bite the bullet, and we started on the prescription kibble that the vet wanted us to, the hydrolyzed protein one. So this was towards the end of that year. And then going on the kibble, or that kibble, his overall wellness plummeted. His teeth started to go kind of yellowy. His breath was disgusting. His coat was dull. His energy levels were really poor. He actually was sick for sort of 3 or 4 days once we put him onto that kibble. But his overall itchiness probably slightly improved. But again, we were in the winter months. And now I know with hindsight that after some of the testing that's been done, I actually think what we were testing him on was chicken and turkey. And, you know, he actually has at that point had never had another protein that wasn't a poultry. So to move him onto something that was hydrolyzed protein, which is effectively soy, was probably going to give him a bit of relief because it wasn't poultry. But I knew, even in my limited knowledge at this point, a dog isn't vegan. A dog shouldn't be on soy based kibble. And, you know, I know as a human, if I eat rubbish, I will feel rubbish, and I can survive on, you know, carbohydrates, but I wouldn't thrive. And at this point, you know, I'd started to think, God, are we going to be on this forever? And, you know, I was pulling my hair out, want for a better word. And it was so stressful that I thought, is he going to have to be on Cytopoint or Apoquel for long-term use? Because they were the only things that would give him respite. And I was actually really shocked at the effects that Apoquel would have on him long term. And none of this was really discussed with me at the vet. It was like, well, it doesn't work, put him on Apoquel for the rest of his life, job done. You know, and I also know as a human, I don't want to medicate to numb pain or suppress my immune system, because that's not going to do me any good. So things, you know, like clogs were starting to turn and thinking, I don't feel good about this. I don't want him on a vegan diet. I don't want to just medicate and pump him through full of medication. I want to try and find the root cause why he's actually itching. So the vet then suggested, well, the only way to do that is to do the dermatology testing. So he went to a dermatology clinic at the end of that year, and he was, you know, injected with lots of environmental allergens. And by the February of the following year, so this is what now 2022, he was having monthly immunotherapy injections. So I guess the aim was to give him very small doses of all the things he's allergic to, inverted commas, and that would build up his immunity over time. So then when his skin settled, because we were still on the prescription kibble at this point, he was nearly completely hairless on his underbelly, legs and stuff, but he was less itchy. But I was like, I don't want him on this kibble long term, even though at that point I thought, I'll move him onto another kibble. So we got into sort of early 2022, and we started to test other proteins, but we used sort of better quality wet food, or we used freeze dry, and we used natural chews. I was trying to introduce more natural things, but it was such a minefield to me at this point.
Yeah.
And the only thing we successfully tested with that had no reaction was goat, and we used sort of goat pate, and we had a lot of sort of like braids or ears and various things. So this was the first time that I'd introduced something to him and it hadn't made him worse. And it had taken us sort of a year really to get to this point. So we had a kind of few months of testing before the seasonal stuff kicked in, and then we sort of had the whole process again of lots more hair loss, lots of thinning. I couldn't really test food accurately because he was all over the place, inflamed. So we had periods of Apoquel again to try and combat the itching, and he was still on the hypoallergenic kibble. And it just felt like, you know, that we just feel so helpless, because I'm thinking he's suffering here, I'm trying my best, and we just don't seem to be getting anywhere. And then when we hit the sort of winter months of the 2022, the skin had settled again because it was out of the allergies, the environmental sort of spring season. And I came across, I thought, well, I'm going to do goat because I know that's safe. But to jump to raw at that point, it felt like it was too much. It was too overwhelming. I didn't know where to start. And I came across a goat cold press that is made by a British company. And it was quite highly rated on the website that I would use to sort of look at these things. And I moved him onto that, or I started to add that into his diet, and he had no reaction, and it was great. And we finally transitioned him off of the prescription kibble onto the cold press. And I was so happy that we had a baseline that was better for him. And like, with his coat got better, his breath got better, all of those things got better, moving him away from that kibble. And actually I think longer term use of that, we probably would have ended up with the same result, because it has got chicken poultry in it in some form anyway. So by March 2023, so fully hairy, and we now celebrate dog hair in this house. I can't get mad when it gets everywhere, because we spent 2 years with a bald boy. So his hair grew back sort of March last year. So this is kind of now a year ago. And it got to the point where I was like, right, let's try raw, because I have a baseline that I know is not doing him, it's not the best, but it's better than where we've been.
Yeah.
So I sort of started to try and add raw, dip my toe in the raw in various forms. And we now probably have about 3 to 4 proteins that don't upset his skin, and I'm quite comfortable with. But we're still working through gut sensitivities, lots of things. So the journey is still ongoing, but we are managing his issues much better than we ever did. And I think one of the things that I've taken from my journey to, I am now fully in support of raw feeding. I'd like to maybe one day go to DIY raw, because I know pre-mades aren't brilliant, or they're great, but they're not, it could be better. But one of the things that I've like really taken from this journey is, you know, how little sometimes you can, how little that the vets, if you've not got holistic vet, I didn't know half of this stuff existed. I didn't know there was other methods. I just thought either medicate or you just pump them full of things rather than trying to get to the actual root cause of the issue. So we're not there yet. We're not over the, you know, we're over the worst, and bless him, he's nearly 5, and you know, we're still working to sort all of his issues out, but we are in a much better place than we were, you know, three, four years ago, when he was bald and, you know, bless him, he was in a lot of discomfort. And like I said, his behavior changed and everything, all of that you learn.
Yeah.
You learn through the difficult stuff. So yeah, we've had quite a challenging few years, and we kind of relied on the support of our vet, which, don't get me wrong, vets are great, but I wish I knew now what I, you know, back then, so that his journey would probably be quite different.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, it must be so stressful for you as well to, like you say, because when you can see that your pet is obviously suffering and you're just trying your absolute best to kind of help them in any way, and you're trying various different things, then for you to then learn like a year or so later that there's this whole other world about fresh food, and that, you know, you could have been doing it back then, then it is so frustrating. Because, well, to be fair though, you did good, because you got him on the cold pressed and he started to improve on the cold pressed. So, and cold press is still a processed food, albeit it's, you know, a damn sight better than kibble. It's still not, you know, cooked or raw, and you still managed to kind of improve him on the cold press. So you did, you know, you did an amazing job. But yeah, I can see why you were so frustrated. Oh, bless him. So he's had a bit of a tough time then, hasn't he?
I know. That's why he deserves the world. And, you know, I think as humans, when, you know, you've got, I don't know, migraines or pains or whatever, we just don't take it very well. And bless him, he can't communicate. He can, yeah. But he can't communicate. And he just must have had a lot of time where he was suffering, and
yeah.
You just feel bad for them because you just feel helpless. But I'm glad that I didn't just, my gut was like, don't just medicate. Or don't just feed him vegan food, because that was telling me that's not the right thing for him. And obviously yeah. Many people, you know, might think, well, the vet's telling me to do it, that's the right thing to do. And from my experience, that's not always the only thing you can do either.
No, it's not. And I think fresh food is so powerful, and the body knows exactly what to do with it. And it doesn't take the body long to kind of start taking those mm-hmm. fresh nutrients and get into work. So, you know, you can literally kind of turn things around almost instantly when you do switch them over to a fresh food diet. I am just curious, so has he had a seasonal flare up this year?
So what are we in now, mid-April? I have noticed that he'll have a bit more scratching, but yeah, we've not lost hair, and it's not enough for me to think, you know, it's just noticeable. But I feel like my brain is, as soon as he licks something, I'm like, stop doing that. As soon as he scratches, yeah, I'm like, stop doing that. So no, so far this year, touch wood, we've just had a slight increase, but nothing
like,
so I think one of the things I would like to try and do is, because he has monthly immunotherapy injections, but part of me also thinks, you're putting something into him that he's maybe intolerant to or doesn't like. Is that gut of his ever getting chance to heal? And yeah, I did ask the vet, should he come off the immunotherapy, is it for life? And they say, yeah, generally they stay on it for life. But again, from my experience, is thinking, well, does he need to be on that? Have we actually done a lot of management through food that I could bring him off it and see if actually that could still be causing him a problem, just having those injections? So yeah, I think this year we're going to do a lot more with his gut. We're going to do a lot more questioning of what we're doing, what we're not doing, and maybe try and pull him off the immunotherapy injections.
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it, as well, because it's hard to know when you're kind of on that road as well, like he's been having the immunotherapy injections for a while, when you do actually make the decision to take him off, if you do, it's going to be so like nervy for you, because like, it's one of those things like you've committed to it. It's like one of my goals is to get Boris off epilepsy medication, mm-hmm. and we've been working really hard from a holistic point of view, and obviously he needs to have been like seizure free for a certain amount of time before we can like start doing it, but I've like slowly reduced his dose, me personally, without just because I, you know, I felt he was ready. So I've done that, and we're still in a good place, but like now he's probably on the lowest dose that he could go. Like if I had to split the tablet anymore, it'd just be like, you know, but like thinking about actually stopping it is something that kind of makes me think, whoa, you know, this is kind of like big stuff, because he's been on it for, how long has he been on it now? Probably about 3 years, 3 or 4 years maybe. So yeah, it can be such like a big thing. But I mean, the good thing about you is that you're actually willing to like go out there and learn more and try these things. And now obviously you know that the whole holistic side of thing exists, mm-hmm. then you can like find support in that area as well, and you know, build up your knowledge in that area, which is going to just make you feel more and more confident about those decisions, which is absolutely fabulous. So how would you say the struggles that you've had with Chief have kind of like changed your life?
So I think for me, I guess from a really early age, you are kind of, it's instilled in us as humans that we need to eat a variety, you know, nutritious food, fresh food. And when it comes to a dog, we're taught, or it's just the way it goes, you feed them kibble. Well, that's the best way to look after your dog, is through kibble. And I think the shift in my beliefs has been quite drastic, from what I thought when I first got my dog to now. And I think the mindset around food for my dog has massively changed. I also think it's added quite a, not necessarily moving to raw food, but having a dog with issues has added a massive amount of stress to my life. But you have to look at these things positively. And the amount of knowledge and understanding about caring for dogs that I now have that I didn't have, you know, I've been able to share that experience with friends or other people that have moved to Raw. And one of my friends has got a dog, she's a collie, and she's just like living the Raw dream. And she's lost, she's so lean, she's so muscular, she just looks great. And I'm just glad that we've been able to sort of share what we've learned and improve other people's lives and other dogs' lives. But yeah, I think my mindset around food for dogs was very different to my personal mindset around food. And now I feel like they're very aligned. And I think that's probably been the biggest change for me.
Yeah. And I think that's sort of natural when you kind of, well, I always have this joke with like colleagues when we speak, and we say you come over to the dark side, but actually it's the light side, isn't it? You know, like when you move into a holistic mindset, it's sort of like it opens up possibilities and you look at natural ways to do things. So it's not necessarily the dark side, it's just a different side. But that is one of the main things, like we were all designed to eat fresh food. And this is one of the things that, you know, we aspire to change working in this industry, is that processed food is not what should be regarded as normal. Yeah, it's what a lot of people choose to feed. And if that's what they want to feed, then that's okay. But in the natural world, dogs would eat fresh food. So, yeah, no, I can see. I think that happens for most of us as well. And, you know, everybody, well, nearly everybody that I speak who has such a passion for like the way they feed their dog, it stems from some kind of problem or issue that they have, you know, encountered along their journey. And some obviously can be really stressful. Like it must have been so stressful for you to have to kind of deal with his issues and kind of trying to help him through, especially like, because when I first got a dog, I didn't research the breeder. I didn't sort of like, you know, get a good look at mum and dad. I didn't do any of that because I didn't know you had to. I just kind of like found a dog online and went and bought it. And that was that.
Yeah.
And I went and bought the dog food and I gave it I gave them vaccinations, gave them flea and worm treatments. I did everything like in the first kind of like years, at the first year, I think it was, of first year, maybe a year and a half of Betty and Boris's life. And like looking back now, I just think to myself, you know, I would do it so differently, you know, if I had, but if I hadn't been there, probably wouldn't been where I am now, because.
Exactly. I think the thing that, because there's been times where I've you know had vets or say to me, you know, you're putting your dog at risk by what you're feeding him, and it really doesn't instill a lot of confidence in yourself. But I think, you know, you do the best that you can as a pet parent, what you know at the time, until you know better, and then you do better. And I think that's what I try and live by is that sometimes I think, oh my god, that poor boy, what I was feeding him, and you know, he was on vegan food for a year, and but that was what I felt was best for him at the time. Yeah. And that's all you can do, and I sometimes beat myself up about it, but you know, I love him, I love the bones off the boy, so I wouldn't do anything at detriment to him. But you do become, it becomes really hard when you don't have a supportive community of people that are fresh feeders or can see the other side of the kibble argument. It can seem quite lonely, and it can seem like you're doing something at detriment to your dog. And I think that's kind of the journey we've been on, is kind of like the Lone Ranger. You just have to, I know my dog better than anybody, and as I gained more knowledge, or you know, questioned more things, we then felt that we could make a better decision. But yeah, it's taken a long time. But yeah, like you said, in hindsight is a wonderful thing. The dogs will be living their best raw life from a much younger age than poor Chief was. But
yeah, I know. And I think the thing is, we do, because we are so sort of like empathetic and loving towards our dogs, that is why we feel so guilty and we kind of blame ourselves, and we kind of forget that everybody, like even experts, start as beginners. So you can, like you say, you can only do what you know is right at the time, and it's really important that you kind of use it to grow rather than to hold you back as well.
Yeah,
but it is hard, especially if you're having one of those days where you just kind of not feeling very happy, or you know, you're just having everybody has those days where they just feel generally shit sometimes. Yeah. Then that is where your thoughts will go. But as long as you kind of like just keep yourself, shake yourself off and remember why you're here now, then that, I think that does definitely help. Oh, bless him. So is he, how long has he been fully on Raw now then?
So we started transitioning him with various role in end of 2022.
Right
at the end of 2022 we started introducing things, and he was kind of on a split diet because I was so petrified of letting go of our new baseline. He was on sort of cold press and raw half and half for a little while, but then I felt like his poos were not great, and I thought, and again, it's so much contradicting information of you can't feed raw and cold press, and then some say you can, you should be able to, it's fine, but I felt like he wasn't coping well with that. So then we moved him fully on to raw. So he's been on full raw now since sort of towards the end of last year, but on raw in some form for a year and a half, 2 years now.
Yeah. And his poop's okay now, he's on full raw?
No, but he had he was having gut problems at the turn of the year this is one of those, I know my pet better. He had his immunotherapy injection at the same time as he had his yearly boosters. And that's another one of the things that would I do differently now is, and I don't think I will get him yearly boosted this year from various things I've read and stuff, but he had them at the same time in December. And his itching wasn't brilliant even in the winter months of this year, last year, for whatever reason. And I asked the vet, are they okay to have at the same time? And they're like, yeah, sure, there's nothing to say that he'll have a reaction. And then he was very, very red and itchy and ear gunky for weeks after that, leading up to Christmas. And I was away from home, so I couldn't take him to my normal vet, so I had to take him to a vet that was down by my parents' house. And they said, really the only thing we could do for him is steroids and antibiotics. So that cleared everything up, but I think his gut and everything was just all over the place, filled with antibiotics and steroids, and the poor boy was sick for ages, his stomach was all over the place, and I still don't think we're in a happy place. He's fine now, but his poos aren't brilliant, so they're inconsistently consistent. What we're going to look to try and do now is try and get those consistent, do a bit of gut healing, and then try and reintroduce proteins as we come off the immunotherapy and see where we're at. So he's good in himself, but I'm just not concerned that his gut isn't happy again.
I mean, it is common, isn't it, especially a knock-on effect like you say, the immunotherapy with the boosters are going to suppress his immune system anyway. And then if he's dealing with everything else after that, he's probably just kind of getting himself right again, isn't he? But you've got a plan, don't you? You've got a plan, you're going to do some good work. And these things take time though, don't they? It's like, I think one of the problems as well is with conventional, a lot of the time conventional stuff works quickly. It's sort of like it reduces the symptoms, it gets rid of them, and then that's what people like, because they can see their dog is suffering and they want the problems to have gone away like yesterday. Whereas I think when you kind of take a more natural approach, you have to kind of build it up slowly, you have to take the slow road, you have to do things one day at a time. It's like when I'm working with super sensitive dogs, I am working with a dog who is just like Chief, to be fair, at the minute, and sounds a lot similar, with the itching and the hair loss and everything like that. And every single day it's just a case of like me and his owner having discussions about the things that we, changing in the diet and if he's having any reactions. And it's literally just day by day. We just take it day by day. And so that we know we're going to be on this road for a long time. And I think for the first couple of months, it was kind of like touch and go while we were trying to figure out, that what the baseline protein was. Because he was kibble fed as well before. And I think that's just the thing. But I think for a lot of pet parents, they just feel so anxious about the welfare of the pet that they want to see immediate results, which is what puts them off about taking the slow road as well. It can be tough. But I think, you spend the time, you put the work in, and that's how you build long lasting results, because you've actually built it from the ground up, haven't you?
Yeah, I just wish, obviously, I just wish that I'd had awareness of, the raw feeding community or the holistic community, because I think had I had some of this knowledge back then, it would have been a lot easier to reach out to people to say, I'm struggling with this. I don't just want to medicate. I don't just want to throw antibiotics at it. Because, you know, from my end, it wasn't really till recently that it kind of all clicked that everything in his skin is actually what's happening in his gut. And conventionally you just try and treat the itching, the skin, but actually it's kind of what's happening inside rather than you can visibly see on the outside. And again, I feel like those dots just didn't connect, and my vets weren't trying to do that. They were just trying to fix the symptoms, not the root cause. So it's a long journey, but it's he's such a happy boy. I mean, he was still a happy boy when he was here, bless him. He was just so happy to be part of this world. But you just want them to flourish.
Yeah, you do. But at least now you can see light at the end of the tunnel, because everything now is kind of like moving forward, which is great. So how did you find the holistic community? Like, what was the first thing you kind of stumbled upon, if you can remember?
Yeah, I can actually, because we've always had labs. Obviously, they suffer from hip dysplasia quite a lot. So when we started to get Chief's itching under control, and I had a bit more headspace to think long term rather than day to day. I thought, right, do I need to start thinking about his hips at age 4 or whatever he was? So then I started to look online and look at podcasts, and I came across the Raw Pet Medics podcast. And it was actually where I started to like think and hear about like some of the raw feeding stuff, some of the other things. And it was actually a podcast on hip dysplasia, and it was the three of them talking about it. And then I started, when you go down a wormhole of information and listen to the of them and whatever else. So that's really where it first started, and I just happened to sort of stumble across that when I was thinking, okay, now we've maybe sorted the skin, do we need to think about hips? That's where I sort of started finding resources in and around the fresh food and
industry. So it was good old Nick, Brendan and Connor that you stumbled upon first. Yeah, it is a good podcast, to be fair, and you do learn a lot from it. To say, some of the episodes like half an hour long, I think they're half an hour to an hour, and they do cover a lot of interesting topics. You can learn a lot of stuff.
Well, yeah, I definitely have.
Good stuff. Okay, so we know about the downfalls and struggles during your journey. So what would you say has been the hardest thing for you?
The hardest thing for me has just that has been in terms of do you mean for his skin issues, or do you mean for
on your journey as a whole? Like, what's been like, if you like thinking back now on your journey, what was the hardest thing for you?
I think the hardest thing is just watching your pet suffer. It was awful, and I shed many a tears, and it was a really horrible experience because I just felt, so helpless. You couldn't see the wood through the trees. And I think one of the things that hopefully if anyone is listening to this is that I'm sure people will feel like that and have felt like that, that they seek help from communities that support, not necessarily, it doesn't even necessarily have to be raw, but just the holistic view of skin, because that's, I feel like, where what I didn't have and what would have been really helpful for me. And I felt like I did a lot of it on my own. Obviously, I live on my own, so I don't even have a partner to be like, do you think we should do this, or do you think we should do that? And the vet only gives you sort of a generic answer that there's not a lot of give and take. I really struggled a bit with soundboarding and having the right information, or even just access or visibility of other information out there. So for me, the hardest thing was feeling so helpless when your dog's suffering. But here we are now, and he's fine, but it's just, nice.
Yeah, no, I can imagine it is tough. It is tough. And that's one of the things, like, there are so many different views and opinions in how to basically look after dogs and how to train dogs, especially. I mean, there's the big hoo-ha in the dog training industry, and obviously nutrition as well. But I think when you do find kind of your path and you figure out what it is you believe in, then the best way to kind of keep you safe is to surround yourself with people who share the same values, because like you say, you could end up feeling lost and alone, and then you can start questioning, yourself and your beliefs. Because if you're like constantly surrounded by people who share different views, then it kind of, it can shake you a bit, can't it? And kind of make you feel.
I had one of the vets, when he was having some gut testing done, saying they can't eat bone because it could get lodged and they'll die. And I think, Well, if they weren't built to eat bones, they wouldn't exist, because that's what they used to eat, you know, when they were wolves and historically. But because their vet's telling you this, like, who am I? I'm not qualified in anything. That, you know, it does knock your confidence, and you don't want to get in, you know, into an argument. Not that you could argue with vets, but you don't want to have those kind of discussions with vets, because they are far superior in their knowledge, and it does massively knock your confidence. And I think now I have much more confidence in my own ability to say, well, okay, yeah, maybe don't know the ins and outs of everything, but I know my dog, and I know what I'm trying to achieve.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's one of the problems as well, like when people do kind of venture into raw feeding, they sort of like immerse themselves in the space in social media, and you know, they're like, yeah, I'm gonna try it, you know, look, all these dogs are thriving from raw food or fresh food, and they try it with their dog, and then they go to the vet and they mention it, and the vet's just kind of like, bad idea. And then they so obviously they feel like, oh my god, why? You know, like, what do you mean? It's, you know, like some people are just like, what do you mean? It's a bad idea. And then they'd go home and they're just literally thinking they're damaging their dog because they've just had a conversation with their vet. But I think it's just taken a while for things to change in the industry. And there are slowly but surely more kind of vet practices that are like coming on board with raw. But it is quite common. And like you say, it is difficult to have those conversations because at the end of the day, you feel like they've got access to a lot more information and a lot more kind of like science-based stuff, where if you were to kind of get into an argument with them, you'd kind of feel like, well, yeah, you know, it's good, but it's good for them, but you know, just wait there while I tell you why. You know what I mean? It's sort of like it's that thing, isn't it, where you kind of don't want to be seen to arguing with them. But yeah, it's tough, definitely. Okay, so on the flip side, what's the best thing about your journey?
The best thing, I think I mentioned this earlier, that it's kind of been the realization of, you know, how much I treat my dog now under the same values as I hold for myself. So I think about my dog's overall health and well-being like I do mine. So would I want to eat an entirely carb-based diet? Well, yeah, that'd be great, but my body wouldn't like it, you know. Would I want to blindly medicate for an issue rather than find the root cause? No, I wouldn't. So why would I expect my dog to do that either? And I think, you know, if I had IBS or stomach issues and I went to a nutritionist and they said, yep, you need to eat processed food, I'd be like, no, that can't be right. So why would I think that kibble would be the best choice for my dog? So I think, you know, I want my dog to thrive. And I think the best thing has been the amount of research, what I've learned, and just kind of realigning my values with my dog, which sounds really silly, but it's opened up my eyes to a whole new way of feeding. And like, it brings me joy to see my dog happy. And he is so joyful when he's eating that I'm just so glad that we kind of got to share this journey, as much as it's been awful. But he's just so happy to eat raw, and he loves his food. I mean, bless him, he would eat soy kibble. He's a Labrador. He will inhale anything. But it's been such a great experience that I can improve his quality of life through his diet, because that's something that's massively important to me, is my diet, to fuel things that I want to do. So yeah, an alignment on our values has been probably the best thing. And I now view decisions about Chief in line with how I would view the decisions about me and what's good for me and good for my health.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think that's one of the things for me as well. And we all just want to see them happy, don't we? I think that is the main, pain-free and living their best life. What more could you ask for? And diet is a great way to do it. And it's still massively underrated in the pet industry, like massively. I think slowly but surely, I can't remember the exact, but I think it's around 25% of people are now kind of feeding raw food in the UK.
Yeah, oh, that's good.
I think it's around about 25%, but still, it's still only a quarter. So we've still got a lot of coverage to do. Yeah.
I think it would be really interesting if they did. I remember reading about a study where they think a lot of processed food has been linked to like ADHD increases. That, you know, I was convinced after Chief had all these issues, he was reactive, particularly to young dogs. I think he was just so crabby and upset that he just couldn't be bothered with young puppies. But I didn't notice that until he got better and then his behavior changed. That I feel like there must be something in relation to diet and dog behavior. And I now massively check in on his behavior, you know, because I think, right, if he's off and reacting, there's something internal happening here. And I think it would be really interesting if they, if studies and things looked at behavior and diet as well. I mean, whether they will
they
or not.
They do already.
Oh, that's
yeah.
good.
Yeah. In fact, I can send you, I'll send you some studies. So the theory behind it is it's all to do with the microbiome, which is in the gut. And it's to do with the fact that the microbiome basically, they basically control everything. We're just slaves to the microbiome. And they produce all of the kind of neurotransmitters that obviously make us feel happy and sad, and control our, even to go as far as to control our cravings for certain foods. Okay. So,
yeah, I suppose if you're stressed, you crave sugar.
Yeah. So, yeah. If you kind of depending on the food that you're feeding, then it sort of like feeds whatever kind of bacteria is associated with that food, because they all eat different things. And then, so they will then produce whichever kind of compounds or neurotransmitters are associated with them. So if you've got kind of too much, if you haven't got enough to produce enough serotonin, then you're not necessarily going to be happy. Whereas if you, because I think it's something like, I want to say 90% of serotonin is produced in the gut. I want to say it's that much. Okay. Because then the gut is obviously connected to the brain through the gut-brain axis, which, and most of the communication on from the gut-brain axis is from the gut to the brain. Mm-hmm. So it predominantly communicates belly up rather than from the brain, which again kind of illustrates how the gut is kind of telling the brain what to do. It's mm-hmm. so fascinating. Like when you actually start to look at these studies, you're going to fall down the rabbit hole again.
It's so interesting. And then there's part of me that I think, because I'm basically a human Labrador, so like my life does also revolve around food, so I find food for humans really fascinating, which is probably why this has been such a, if it hadn't been for an issue, the journey could have been all, you know, all happiness and rainbows. But it's been so interesting going down all the little wormholes of, you know, vaccinations, worming, all these things, that, yeah, if you've definitely got some research on the gut and the behavior, I'd love to read it, because it's just, you know, I just find it fascinating.
I've got some studies, so because it's one of the areas that fascinates me the most, especially because I have done a degree in human psychology. So psychology has always been something that has interested me in general. So the fact that now there is kind of evidence that tiny little bacteria have an influence over the way that we behave and the way that we think, and basically our neurotransmitters that do impact our brain. Just one of the areas that I do find the most fascinating out of all of it, and especially because I have Barney is he's not so bad now, because obviously we've changed his diet and we use energetics as well, which is another thing which can obviously tie in with behavior, but when he was at his worst, he was quite reactive and he used to be quite bad. Like he was always having a go at Boris, my other dog, and it got to a point where, you know, the house was just tense and stressed all the time. And since we've kind of like looked at his diet and like looked at his gut, because now I understand that he does have a tendency to kind of get stressed easily, which then disrupts his gut, which then disrupts what he can eat, and then he gets cranky, and it's all just, you know, kind of like a big fat vicious circle. But now that we've addressed each of those issues, he is so much like calmer and, you know, pleasant to be around. Like it used to, he got to a point where you wouldn't want to kind of like, you wouldn't want to go down and like ruffle his belly, because he would just be that grotty, you know what I mean? Whereas now he's just completely turned around. So it just definitely does show that even when, and he's always been on a raw food diet. So like he had those issues even from being on raw food. So it's not like it was, you know, you can't just blame kibble for everything, although we loved it. But sometimes it's deeper than, you know, just kind of like fresh food. That's why we've had to really like break his diet down and figure out exactly what it was that basically makes him tick. And yeah, it's just truly fascinating. So I will definitely get you some links to those studies, because they are amazing.
Yeah, do. Thank you. That'd be great. Some light bedtime reading.
Yeah, you'll be up to 2 in the morning.
I'm like, oh, look at this.
Reading it out to him.
I know.
Like, oh, you might even have some light bulb moments though, you know, like as you he sets a great thing about learning about stuff, you're like, oh, I wonder if that's why, you know, this happens, which yes, is happens. I like to do that. Yeah. Okay, so I'm thinking, what do you have, I mean, obviously you have your plans for the future to kind of work on Chief's gut this year and kind of like really get his issues like under control to a place where you're both happy with. But what else, like what other plans do you have for the future in terms of like holism and natural feeding, or are there any other changes that you want to make that you haven't had a chance to do yet?
Yeah, I'd like to review kind of his well, I've stopped his sort of monthly worming and things. I'd like to really take time to have a look at that sort of side of things and the yearly boosters. I would like to, once I kind of do a bit of gut healing and get him to a comfortable place where we know what proteins he is actually okay with a healthy gut, I would like to try DIY raw. I just think that because of all his issues, the more honed in on exactly what he is eating, the quantities and, you know, the exact amount of bone and everything else, because I'm still not convinced he's happy with the amount of bone that's in a pre-made raw. I would like to go down the sort of DIY raw route. You know, I do enough meal prep for myself, so what's another body to meal prep for? But I feel like we've never been in the right, probably mental state to give it the attention that I want to give it with all of his other issues, and him sort of in his physical health to feel comfortable enough to, it's not that I don't trust moving to a DIY, because we've just said, you know, if you approach it like we eat, you know, you can go wrong, but I don't think you can really go wrong if you've got the right support. But I just feel like we need to, you know, approach that slowly, given all of his history. But I would like to try and move him onto some DIY raw meals, you know, and make him happier. I'm sure he'd love to have a picky bits dinner.
Yeah, I bet he would absolutely love it. But yeah, so that sounds like absolute, you know, it sounds like so much fun. I absolutely love DIY. I did feed pre-mades for years. It's only been the last like couple of years I've really gone hell for leather, should we say, with DIY. But I think you'll find that when you do kind of take the leap, and obviously you do need to be ready for it, because there are certain things you need to be aware of, you know, you need to make sure you're getting everything in there, then you probably find that he improves again, you know what I mean? Like especially kind of if you do find he has inconsistent poops with the pre-mades, because they do claim to have a certain balance, but it's not always the case. And it's only because they're just, you know, the way that they're processed, they're processing loads and loads of like carcasses and meaty bones and stuff that they just can't guarantee that every single chub or block or tub or whatever has, you know, that ratio in there. But it's just one of those things. But I do genuinely think that you will love it when you take the leap. And when you are ready, just send me a message, because I can help you with that. Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think I would sadly probably will love it. Because I live on my own and I don't really know how, but I've got obviously a big fridge freezer and I just didn't have enough room in the freezer for anything of Chief's. And I'm thinking, how did families of four cope with a fridge freezer and here's me on my own? So I had to buy him his own freezer, but I didn't really have any space for it, so it's in my spare room. So I'm like fully committed to, we're gonna be friends. We bought his own freezer, so yeah, we're fully committed. I think we just need to be on an even keel to start doing those things, because even like the pre-made raws, so to obviously to have like a single protein, which is why we've started on lamb, because I know that is single protein. But again, like you said, I don't know exactly if there's 10% bone in there or 10% organs and stuff. And a lot of the ones that we use, you know, I think he's fine with goat and venison, but they have beef offal and stuff, so he might not like beef. So it's being able to probably move to DIY so I can say I am 100% sure he is fine with goat or venison, and then take it from there.
Yeah, that was one of the main reasons why I switched to DIY, because, well, I mean, now a lot of the single proteins are actually single protein, whereas before, like a couple of years ago, it was common that it said, like, I don't know, goat on the front of the label, but it actually had beef organs in it, like you've just mentioned. And everybody does it. I just kind of like just assumed that because it said beef, because it said like lamb or goat or whatever, that's what it was. And then it wasn't until afterwards I like really looked at the label. Sounds so stupid now, but you know, like
it's just at the time, yeah, you just think, oh, that's what it is. And now you think, yeah, wow, was I really that naive? But it's just part of the journey.
Yeah. And then it got to a point because like when Barney used to start like really getting bad with his sensitivities, like he used to regurgitate and be sick a lot of the time, like basically after every meal. And that's when I kind of sort of like said, right, I can't find any single proteins that he can tolerate. And that's when I sort of just started getting the DIY stuff and building the bowls myself, because then I knew for sure exactly what was going in. And we massively improved from then. But I mean, I know I have tried a few of the single proteins recently again, now that they've sort of like stepped it up a gear in the pre-made, you know, there's more single proteins available. And it's probably because there's more dogs having these kind of issues that people are crying out for single proteins, and he has been okay with them. So I think they are a little bit more reliable these days. But I do still find that I can get their balance just right being on the DIY. But one thing to be wary of when you do start DIY is sometimes for the first couple of weeks you can kind of have that upset again where the stools might be slightly off until you find, you know, what level of bone they tolerate. So I do think you are being smart by getting him to a place that you're happy with and that he's comfortable with before you then start changing it again, because any change in food is going to cause some kind of disruption, whether or not, you know, it means that there's like a little bit of sickness or a little bit of loose stools. It's still a changing environment, so the body needs to adjust. And sometimes even just the fact that they've gone from a mince to then having to kind of digest bigger chunks of food can sort of like give them a bit of an issue until they get used to it. So yeah, definitely a smart move waiting until he's on an even keel. Nice poops. Yeah. Okie dokie. So is there anything you would say to other pet parents who may be struggling at the moment?
I think when I'm sort of thinking about coming on the podcast and thinking my experience, I think the kind of advice I would say, or not really advice from my point of view, would be have confidence that you know your dog better than anyone else, and that you're making decisions with their best intentions. And like we said, it's such an emotive subject, what you feed your dog, and not everyone is on board with raw or fresh feeding. And I think what I would do if I could go back in time, would be to seek professional advice that was in support of my decisions and wouldn't make me feel bad for those. So I think that would be my kind of my message to pet parents that are either thinking about raw or thinking about fresh food, or have an issue like Chiefs and want to try and find the root cause rather than just, you know, treat the symptoms. It would be, you know, seek professional advice that will support you and have confidence that you are trying to do the best for your dog, and don't beat yourself up about it.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's like you say, find the people who are going to support you on, and not, like you say, and your wishes, and don't give in to your, like, trust your gut. Like, obviously, if your gut screams something out to you, like, this is, to me, this feels wrong, I think, you know, there's got to be another way. Don't just kind of ignore that, because there's a reason why that it's screaming at you, basically.
You know, so if I had not ignored my gut, Chief would be on prescription kibble still, and he'd probably be having Apoquel or Cytopoint that would suppress his immune system, and then God knows what would have happened in a couple of years' time, you know. So, yeah, trust your gut, you know, because it doesn't often lie to you.
No, doesn't. It's the microbiome. Listen to them. They run the show. It's the truth.
It's always right. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, well, I think that just about sums it up. But thanks ever so much for coming on. If anyone wants to follow along with Charlotte and Chief's journey, you can find them on, are you just on Instagram?
Yes, and TikTok, but yes.
Yeah, okay. TikTok as well. I always forget about good old TikTok. So if you want to follow along, is your handle the same on TikTok as it is on Instagram, or is it different?
Yeah, no, it's the same.
It's the same. Okay. So Charlotte and Chief can be found at a.chief.life on Instagram or TikTok. If anyone wants to either go say hi, or if you've got any questions, if you're having a similar sort of experience and want to find out any more information about things that you might be struggling with, then please, please do go give them a follow, and Charlotte will be willing to help. Plus, you need to go and have a good look at Chief, because he is scrumptious.
I'm biased. I can't really comment.
Well, thanks ever so much, Charlotte, for joining me. And if you ever want to pop back on to chat about something else, then I'm always happy to have you.
Thank you for having us, the royal us, even though Chief's asleep in the background. But thank you so much.
No, you're always welcome. We'll catch up with you soon.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another great episode of the My Dog Made Me Do It Naturally podcast. Don't forget to check out the caption for any links discussed here today. And please, if you enjoyed the show, follow along and listen for free on your favourite podcast app. If you have any questions or would like to share your story, feel free to email me at mydogmademedoitnaturally@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Purpose of this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only and should not be substituted as advice from a veterinarian or other professional. It does not form a client relationship with me, the host, or any guest speakers, and any information is not intended to and does not diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease. And my guests express our own views, thoughts, and opinions as individuals, and the podcast neither endorses or opposes the views, products, or services discussed here. If your pet is ill, always seek advice from your veterinarian. I am not a veterinarian, and I do not treat disease or offer medical advice.